The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies.
1, 2, 3.
Because I have a boner.
I don't know shit about fuck.
I like sucking.
Piss.
Legit fat podcast.
Where's your home?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Are you in Oregon?
Hello, welcome to Legit Bat. Welcome to the Sunday Night Shit Show featuring Taylor Elena. And before we get to talking with her, though, I'll bring Ben in since he's actually here today. Yay! Thanks, Ben. And he rolls his eyes for the audio listeners. Yeah. Oh, I have the wrong background up. Fuck, sorry. All right. What do we have to mention before the show? I guess nothing. It's Super Bowl, so I gave everybody a pass on not watching us live today because we get it. You got to watch your sports balls and, you know, figure out which team is the most satanic or whatever fucking symbolism and halftime show and all that stuff. We actually tried to watch it. We tried to watch the halftime show, and we got about 5 minutes in before we had to start our show. So
no big deal. But hey, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and we covered on Planet Retard. There's this potato perfume that you should all totally get your girlfriends.
Treats.
Bag of French fries. Yeah,
treats.
Do it.
We were talking before the show about how that's the worst smell. If you work at a restaurant, you know that smell. And it's the worst possible smell. Actually, Jen was gagging out back earlier because I was like, no, you know that old oil smell where you dump it into the nasty bin?
We both used to work in the restaurant industry. We both very clearly remember the grease being dumped.
So before I worked in the restaurant industry, my very first job that was under the table was with Jake Redenbaugh. And our business was that we would start at like 10 o'clock at night and hit three different joints. And our job was to clean the hoods of those grills. And all of the gelatinous, chunky fucking grease that would stick up in the hoods all would come running down. And it was rank, dude.
Yeah. It's...
All right. Well, glad that's all in our past.
So,
yeah. And you're glitching out. That's a hilarious place to freeze, though. You look like you're high as shit. You might be.
Bad.
Yeah, take a picture.
My first thought is that.
And he's back. And you're freezing again.
Huh?
You were chopping up, freezing. It was a great time.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't do this when we use Zoom.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we're going to go back to using Zoom as soon as my year that I paid for runs out on StreamYard. But
yes.
Anyway.
Piss. I don't have it queued up.
Have you seen my wiener?
Wrong one.
Yes.
Piss.
There we go. Sorry about that. Well, there's something I was going to mention before we start.
I don't know. Our new art in the background?
Oh, yeah. Look at my new art. Yeah, you can get a t-shirt with that art on it. Go to legitbat.com. It's really cool. And it's literally the only one in existence. I'd be hard-pressed to see this exact art anywhere else. Thanks, Bags Draws, for that.
Also, we will be adding it as a art selection for the merch store in a little bit. I don't have a date for you. But
Didn't you put that on there?
Yeah, it's in there.
All right.
Oh, okay. Wait, what?
Jen added it on, I think, already for tumblers and mugs and shit like that.
Oh, fuck.
No, it's not. Okay, so I didn't add it on everything. It's on a mug, I think. You had already added it. I just changed it so that you could see it.
Oh.
And it's not on the wine tumbler. I think it's on a glass, and it's on a coffee mug. It's not on the silver mug that you want yet, Ben.
But there are, it but is on the shirts. And if you want
that. I do color. See that now, yeah.
Okay. I picked a couple random colors. So if you want a different color, just let me know, and I'll put it in there. But.
Cool.
All right, we won't keep Taylor waiting anymore. She's just backstage, like sitting there, all like, ha. Ah. Taylor, Elena, welcome to the show. How's it going? Whoa, your voice just got all.
You sound like a robot. It's
really no. Let's give a second. I'm not.
It sounds like a bad connection or something.
Yeah. So you were fine when we were talking backstage, but now it's very
bad. Yeah. Okay. Hold on one second.
Let me see if
okay. Hold on 1 second.
Try again. There we go.
Okay. Is that better?
Nope.
Okay. Hold on.
It's okay. It's actually hilarious and I love it.
This is great.
I'm really rich.
I think she froze.
Oh, and she froze. Maybe she comes back in. Piss.
No, Taylor.
Taylor has some amazing ayahuasca stories that I can't wait to hear. Ooh. Yeah. But
more
like,
of those. Those are good.
Very interesting, amazing stories. I am very excited. So let's see if this works this time.
I have to rejoin. Now she's not even there.
Oh, Taylor. It's okay.
Oh, technical difficulties. We love you.
We were just talking about, so our friend Ellie that was on the other day.
Yeah.
She was talking about technical difficulties.
What about now?
Oh, no, it's still
great. Try unplugging your USB if it's plugged into a USB port on your computer. Unplugging it, make sure the connection to the mic itself is okay, and then replug in the USB port.
Okay. Give me a second.
Okay. Oh my god, this is fucking fantastic.
Gaga blah blah. Well, you can try. You can try actually exiting the stream and then coming back in and see if that works. Because sometimes that fixes shit. I don't know what your setup is, but you're frozen. You froze way better than Ben did.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Her freezing is beautiful. That's actually a great freeze. It's like a perfect picture. All right.
Okay.
Now talk.
What about?
Oh, there we go.
Yay. Gotcha.
You're welcome.
That was crazy. You got to go back and listen to it because it's pretty funny.
It was actually a little scary. You were just like, okay.
It's all.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me try that. I'll be right back.
You sound like you ate cigarettes for dinner.
But you froze a couple times, and every time you froze, your face was in this like perfect like. Like it was a perfect harmonious face. Usually when people freeze, they're like doing the worst.
You could totally put that on your Instagram.
Gorgeous. It was awesome. Yeah.
But then my voice sounded like I just like gargled a bunch of cigarettes.
Yeah. No, it was crazy.
It was
I've never heard that before. That's a new one. Never. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. There's a first for everything.
Yeah. No, it brightened our day.
Ben gets so pissed at my sound usage. Whatever. Fuck off.
Yeah, Joe has a weird soundboard, so if you hear weird shit, it's just him just
fuck off.
What's funny to me is that he's
like my dad. You can see the gears turning where he's coming up with a response to something just so that he can press the soundboard. It's like
100%.
He'll hear something, he'll go, oh, well, I thought this, and then he pushes it and he's like.
So they're brothers. I don't know, Taylor, if you know that Ben and Joe are brothers. So
okay, I didn't know that. Cool. So there's that sibling love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure. Sibling love. And I mean, their faces look similar. Hair is very different. Yeah. But
bullshit.
I see.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. For people, I didn't introduce us. That's what I meant to do. I'm Joe. This is Jen. If you're a first-time listener, Jen's my wife. And Ben's my brother. Taylor's our guest. Mm-hmm. Taylor, you don't sound gross. I mean, it wasn't gross. It was just weird.
It was just fucking creepy.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I think it was the perfect. I can kind of hear it coming back.
Yeah, it was very squiggly.
I actually think that you might have a short in your wire.
Okay.
So
try to
position it away from you where it's not going to get bumped, and then kind of move it and then leave it.
It sounds like an aux cable that's like wonky.
It's hard because she can't hear that though. You know what I mean? Like she's not gonna hear.
So right now I'm using my AirPods. Maybe I can turn them off and then use something else.
Do you have earbuds or like?
Yeah, don't use Bluetooth.
I have like big headphones. I'll go get them.
Yeah, try those.
No problem. It's okay.
That might be.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
No, it's totally fine.
It's always very something.
Be right back.
Better to get it taken out of the way now. I mean,
it's
going to happen right now.
Right at the top of the show.
Her room has Maddie. Maddie's room looks just like her room. That's crazy.
She has all
I'm going to call my cans, too.
Demon came with his penis and put it in my mouth.
Penis.
It's my favorite. a demon.
I like a do da cha cha. My tiny little nipples went to France.
So the next, we'll just fill it in with like weird sound effects while we're waiting. Oh, there we go. Oh, look, she's got proper headphones.
Hey. Yes. Is this better?
Oh, yeah. That sounds 100%. So much better.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
I wonder if they were like dead or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they said 100%, but I think honestly, I've had so much trouble with AirPods. I try not to wear them because they're like, they fuck up your brain and shit. And I think my spirit guides literally intentionally fuck with them, so I don't use them. They've been hidden on me like 700 times. And I'm like, I always blame my ADHD, and I'm like, no, this is some other shit. This is like gnomes or I don't know, something's fucking with me.
A lot of people say that in this game, this podcast game, a lot of people do have problems with all this stuff. And I don't know if it's the government or spirits or whatever, but anytime we get super deep into something, something fucked up happens.
That is totally true. But I do have a coworker who wears AirPods while she's talking to me, and we have, in the industry I work in, it's very important that we communicate very clearly with each other.
Yeah.
And her hair, she said if her hair gets in her AirPods at all, it messes up her voice. And that happens so often, where when the hair brushes up against the AirPods, I can't tell what she's saying. So I have to just kind of try to figure it out and then wait and be like, hey, so for the last maybe 10 to 15 seconds, I didn't know what you just said. You have to repeat yourself. And then we go from there. But it's hair on the AirPods. It's
technology.
It makes so much sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but it could be like sprites or something else. I'm not discounting. Yeah,
honestly, it could be hair too. Everything's possible.
It could just be hair. Yeah. So give us a quick intro on what you do and your story and all that, whatever you want to say. It's a shit show.
Sure. Yeah. So, basically what I do now is I'm a spiritual life coach and healer. And so I focus mostly on people that are kind of towards the beginning of their spiritual journey, that are just like waking up and things like aren't what they seem, and navigating through that whole bit. Because a lot of times when you go through a spiritual awakening, like everyone thinks it's these like flowers and sunshine and rainbows and like your third eye and it's so fucking cool. But then they forget that like all of your repressed childhood trauma and like all that shit also comes up with it. And so that's what I do. I help people through that tough shit and all the multifacets of being a fucking human. So
And how'd you get started on that? Like, what tipped you off? I always want to hear people's origin story, because we all start out pretty vanilla, right? I mean, especially us white people. But we start out kind of just like doing the thing. We're focused on jobs or school or whatever else. And then all of a sudden, you get into this weird area that we're all in. So what was the tip off for that for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, my spiritual journey kind of started when I was like 12. So I started getting into like fairies and like just questioning like Christianity. Like I had this children's Bible that I just remember reading a story and I was like, this doesn't fucking make sense. Something's missing from here. And I just started questioning it from like that young of an age. But then kind of fast forward, I got more into just like meditation and affirmations and that kind of thing. And then I was a professional makeup artist for about 8 years. And when the pandemic happened, or the pandemic, whatever the fuck you want to call it, this shit. So when that started happening, I was actually supposed to move to Dallas for a job. And then that got canceled because most of my job was supposed to be traveling. And then, so I was like, well, now what the fuck do I do with my life? And so I went through like a really tough breakup, and I was going through all this shit, you know, all at the same time. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to do stuff for me. And I went to Costa Rica, did an ayahuasca retreat. And then I saw like everything got just blown wide open, more so than, you know, it already was. And I was like, all right, well, I think I'm supposed to teach people about spirituality. Like there's so much like bullshit and illusion and things going on. And I think I'm supposed to bring, you know, kind of that to the surface, or help people that are realizing that things are bullshit or illusionary, you know, kind of just guide them through that. And so then that kind of started my path as a spiritual coach.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. Can you, if you want, do you mind telling us about your ayahuasca experiences?
Yeah, of course. I don't know how in depth you want me to go, but mine was pretty intense. Okay, so there was two nights of ayahuasca and then one night of Huachuma, which is like San Pedro. And so the first night I was like, I was fucking shit scared, terrified. Like I was standing in line waiting for the tea and my hands were just like shaking like this. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get out of the line. Like, what if I shit my pants? What if I throw up in front of everyone? Like, this is gonna be embarrassing. Like, what if I die? Just all these fucking things going through my head. And so I get there. This was 2019, so this wasn't that long ago.
Oh, okay.
This is exactly, so by the way, I want to do ayahuasca so bad, and those are 100% all of my fears.
Yeah, like, just push past it. Push past it. That's your fucking ego. That's the thing, is like, that's the ego telling you, okay, you're at the brink of something. You're at the brink of expanding yourself. And so your ego wants to keep you in your comfort zone because that's what its job is. Its job is to keep you tied to the narratives that are programmed into you. So when you deviate outside of that, then your ego's like, no, we're not doing that. You stay here. You're going to die. It starts filling your head with all this bullshit. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this anyways, like fucking man up. And I got to the shaman and they don't pour everybody the same, like dose. She kind of just looks at you and knows intuitively like how much to give you. And so I kind of just like went to her. I'm like, hey, like, you know, I've never done this before. I'm really fucking scared. So if you can give me just like less than what you usually would, that'd be great. And she's like, okay. So then she gave it to me. An hour passed by, nothing happened. So I went back up for the second cup. I was like, okay, nothing happened. She's like, I told you so. So then she gave me a normal size cup, sat back down. And then all of a sudden, all of these, like, it's just like this whoosh of like heat just came over me. And I was like, all right, something's happening. Fucking buckle up. And so, I just started seeing like all of these like green, like fractal patterns and just weird, like snakes and all these kind of things. And so like, I'm Yeah.
Sorry. When I got booted a couple minutes ago, my settings completely reset. I apologize. Nothing is working. Good. So I just want to make sure. Go ahead.
We can hear you.
Yeah.
So you started getting really fucking high.
Yeah. So I started getting really fucking high and I was, kind of just starting to freak out, really. I'm like, all right, don't freak out, because if you freak out, this is going to be like really bad and you're going to have a real shit time. And so I'm like, all right, you just have to surrender and be in your body and process and whatever. So all of a sudden I just saw all these like black snakes like raining down on me. And it was just like formed like this pile, which is like terrifying because I'm terrified of snakes. And so I'm like, great. The one thing that I'm fucking terrified is what you're throwing at me right from the get-go. And so the one thing that I kind of, are you guys Harry Potter fans? Do you like Harry Potter?
I've watched most of them.
Yeah. We know what it is.
More of a Lord of the Rings guy.
Okay. So in the first Harry Potter, do you remember when they're going through that whole little trial and tribulation and they go in that like pile of vines and like Ron's freaking out? He's like, Hermione's like, oh, just relax, otherwise you're gonna die. And like everyone falls through the bottom and Ron's just like freaking out. And then finally they're like, just relax. And then he relaxes and he falls through and he's like, oh, okay. So basically it was that concept. So I was like, okay, just remember Devil's Snare. And so I relaxed and then I just fell to the bottom of this snake pit. And then I fell into myself as a child. So all of my mannerisms, like I was in fetal position, like I looked like a child, like the girl sitting next to me, she looked over and she's like, you looked like a baby. It was the fucking weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, I just wanted to go over and like hug you. And I was like, that's crazy. Cause I fell into myself as like the 3-year-old me. And so I was just going through all the emotions and I saw myself like in my mother's womb and just all this crazy shit happened. And then there was one point where I just saw this key kind of unlock my brain, and it was Mother Ayahuasca. So they say, you know, the plants have a spirit, especially like psychedelic plants and things like that. So Ayahuasca is the mother. And so the mother, you know, she's nurturing, but she also gives you tough love. And so the intention that I went into was I want to just surrender and I want to get rid of all the pieces of me that are no longer serving me. So I see her take this key and unlock my brain. And then there's all of these patterns that just like come out. And she's like, okay, I just unlocked your gifts. So you need to fucking do something with them and don't waste it. And I was like, okay, loud and clear. And so that was like night one. And so after that, they're like, okay, are you guys ready for like night two? And I'm like, fuck no. Like, that was intense. I don't want to do another one of these. Like, are you fucking high? Obviously, yes. But So that was night one in a nutshell. Night two was where it got fucking wild. So I'm sitting in the opening circle and they're playing like opening music. There's candles. They're doing their whole ceremony. And all of a sudden I hear Mother Ayahuasca just like talk to me. And she's like, hey, just so you know, tonight you're going to go through an exorcism. And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean an exorcism? And she's just like, yeah, you're going to go through a spiritual exorcism. And I was like, okay, cool. And usually I'd be fucking terrified. And then just like this wave of just like calm, like badass energy just came over me. Like, you're fucking goddess warrior, fucking go in this. This is your battle. You got this. And so I went up to the shaman and she was like, okay, she just looked at me, filled the cup up all the way to the brim, like, and she started laughing. And I was like, oh God, why are you laughing? Like, that's not a good sign. I'm going to die tonight. This is the night.
Mushroom dose, and you're like, go ahead, take all these.
She's
it'll
like,
be fine.
You're going to be okay. It's going to be a crazy night, but I know it's going to be okay. It's almost like a loving laughter. That's
cool. Yeah.
On with the craziness of night, too. When when you jumped into your fetal self or your child self, did it actually... were your eyes open or were you seeing things like lucidly, like you were fucking there, or was it more like a dream type of thing?
Because
I really want to do ayahuasca. So I got to
pay. Yeah. So it was all in my mind's eye. So there were points where I had my eyes open and it was just like too much. So it was like, you're feeling too much. You're seeing too much. So when I closed my eyes, it was kind of like seeing everything in your mind's eye. You know, like when you like visualize stuff, it was kind of like that.
We did way too much acid one time and both saw the same shit with our eyes closed. It was actually better to open my eyes because I was like, oh, I can see the fan. That's good. The ceiling fan's there. That's great. I shut my eyes and was like, oh, there's creatures. So I guess it's different on ayahuasca, though.
Yeah. So ayahuasca, it's different because it's more of like, because I feel like sometimes mushrooms, it's like it can be an internal journey, but sometimes it's also like an interactive journey too. Whereas ayahuasca is all inner journey. Like, you should not interact with other people while you're on ayahuasca. Highly don't recommend.
I think I've seen guys on ayahuasca walking down the streets on my in my city or
something. Oh my god. Where do you guys live?
Northern California.
Okay.
She's talking about meth. It's not ayahuasca.
Yeah, way different.
People either, though.
You know, they shouldn't. But ayahuasca, I do 100% agree with that. Ayahuasca is meant for an internal journey. Yeah. It's not that you shouldn't or can't, like you could, right, but it will definitely take away from the experience because mm-hmm. what you need to do, and I've never done it, but I know enough about it that it's just for you. And every experience is going to be different because mm-hmm. that's just what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like, it's cool to hear people's ayahuasca stories, but even hearing them, like, yours is probably going to be nothing like mine. You know what I mean? So, but it's so cool seeing people's, like, recounts of it and stuff. Like, before I did it, I watched, like, every fucking ayahuasca video on YouTube, like, watched all the documentaries. Like, I researched it for, like, 2 or 3 years prior, and then I finally grew balls, and I was like, all right, let's do this.
So where I might have missed that part, but where did you go to do this? Because that's an important part to me, because I don't want to go down to like LA and have some white shaman hippie that's like, yeah, this is ayahuasca. I want to go in the fucking jungle with some old crusty dude that's like, I've been doing this for 30 years. Yes, okay, I will take you. Thank you.
Yeah, so I actually, the way it happened was kind of synchronistic. So I followed this YouTuber, Aaron Dowdy, for like quite some time. And so he started putting on ayahuasca retreats, and he has contacts with these badass shamans. And it was this couple, it was a husband and wife that had been doing this for like, I think they said like over 30 years, something crazy like that. And they were just super cool, like super down to earth, just super chill. And they just made you feel so comfortable. And so like, once I met the shamans, I was like, all right, this is going to be fine. I'm in good hands.
Was it in America?
No, it was in Costa Rica. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, it was gorgeous. I've
other countries more than the U.S. for this type of shit.
Honestly, I would recommend obviously doing your research, because you don't want to like show up to some dude's hut and it's like he's gonna murder you and like steal your kidneys. But you know,
there's been stories of that. That's what I mean by that. Like, there's some people that are, like, super rapey, or they're just in it for the money, and they give you the super downgraded version of ayahuasca, and you kind of like, this isn't what I heard about. No, I want the real jungle experience where I fucking meet the snake gods and whatever.
We just heard that one dude's experience where he talked about how his friend's parents or whatever made this like weird, they made ayahuasca, but they like boiled it down so that it was super highly concentrated, and they drank it like a tiny amount, and it was like 10,000 times the amount that you'd normally have in ayahuasca. And he was like, I don't recommend this, but this was my experience.
He had a crazy time.
He did have an insane time. But the parents, they sound similar to the people, the couple you're talking about. They'd been doing it and making it for years, and they just knew. They're like, and they kind of laughed, and he was freaking out, and they just put on a record, and they're like, yeah, listen to this. It's fine. Anyway, so I want to hear, so what happened after you drank that whole gigantic cup?
Yes, continue.
Oh, yes. No, it's okay. So night two, so I sit down on the mattress, and it's like 5 minutes in. Everyone's still in line trying to get their cup, and it already fucking hits me. I'm like, okay, great. So everyone's just going to see me tripping out while everyone's getting their tea. Love that for me. Total ego. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to close my eyes and let this happen. And so all of a sudden, I started feeling like a little bit uneasy. So I just kind of called in like my spirit guides and like my angels. I'm like, okay, just like sit with me because I feel kind of weird. Like, I don't know what's going to happen kind of thing. And then I just felt their presence like over my shoulder. And all of a sudden, my hands, I swear to God, my hands just started moving on their own. Like, I was not consciously moving them. They just started doing all of these like weird kind of like snake movements, and they would like move in different parts of my body and just start like pulling stuff out of me. And so I was like, what is happening? And then when I kind of like, I kind of caught vision of like these almost like shadow beings like standing around me. And it was like a scene out of a movie where someone wakes up out of a coma and you see like all the people like surrounding like your hospital bed, and they're just like, whoa, what, like what's happening? And so that's how I felt. It was just like that scene out of a movie. But when I like looked around, it was like these, they felt like extraterrestrial, like shadowy, like just not from this dimension kind of, it was just crazy. I don't even know how else to explain it. So I just saw them standing around, and then my hands just like did all these motions and just started like pulling out pieces of me. And they pretty much just kind of communicated like, this is spiritual surgery. We're taking out all the pieces that don't belong to you, your depression, your anxiety, you know, your fucking childhood traumas, all the shit you've been through, all your attachments to them. We're ripping those out of you. And so, I was like, okay, cool. Love that. And so it was really, really, really fucking intense. And part of me kind of just went unconscious for some of it. And one of the shamans saw that I was having a really tough time. So she came over and she like held me in her arms. And as soon as she got me in her arms, I just started like bawling, like crying my eyes out. And I was like, I'm going to die. She's like, no, you're not going to die. Just like lean into this. You're fine. And like, so from that moment, like when I said, I'm going to die, I just sunk into her arms, and then I felt like what it felt like to die. Like, that's what she told me. She's like, this is what death feels like. So now you have nothing to be afraid of, because that's what everybody is afraid of, you know, of dying essentially. And so now that that fear is removed, now you know what this feels like. What's left to be afraid of? Like, why be scared? And so after I came, the shaman comforted me. I cried. She laid me back down on the floor. And then I just started like breathing, and I got this vision of like pregnancy. It was like, she was like, you're going to find out what it like, what it's like to conceive a baby and be pregnant and give birth to new life. So I don't have kids. I've never been pregnant. I don't know what that's like aside from fucking what ayahuasca told me. And so like, my hands started doing all those weird things, and there was like a bunch of energy coming from them, and they would like push into my ovaries. And I shit you not, it felt like I was having sex with someone. I was like, this is fucking crazy. Like I had to open my eyes and look down. I'm like, okay, not having sex with anyone, but it fucking feels like it. I was like, just had to check because I don't know what's happening right now. And so it felt like
penis is in me right now.
Yeah. I'm like, what is this? And so I was like, all right, there's nothing there. And so I closed my eyes and I just let it happen. And then all of a sudden, like, you know how, like when a woman is pregnant, she places her hands over her belly and just like rubs her belly just like for comfort or whatever. And so my hands just automatically started doing that. I was like, okay. And she's like, this is the pregnancy stage. So now you're growing this new life in you. And so now my body sits itself up, like props it up with my like knees bent, like I'm about to push, like to give birth. And she's like, okay, now breathe. And then my body just started automatically like doing like the, like those like pregnancy, like giving birth breaths. And I'm like, this is so fucking crazy. I'm like, I don't even know how I'm going to tell this story to people. Like, they're going to think I'm a fucking nut job. And so I'm sitting there like giving birth, and all of a sudden all the visuals went black. And then I just see this like canal, and it's like this canal of light. And it was almost like I was being reborn. So it was like, I grew my own life in me. And then I was being reborn. And then I saw those
out your own vagina.
I guess so. I have no idea. That part I'm still trying to figure out to this day. But then there was just this like being that was holding this baby made out of light. And it was just like this like rebirth experience. And so it was really beautiful. It was like the most strangest, intense fucking moment of my life, but it was honestly incredibly beautiful. And yeah, that's kind of...
So, couple questions. How long did it take to come down from that? And second, how did the ayahuasca taste? Because I've heard conflicting reports on this too. This is very important to me because I hate gross tasting things. And yeah. I'm not afraid, like you were talking about earlier, you're afraid of the whole shitting yourself or whatever. I'm not afraid of shitting myself at all. I don't want to barf. I hate barfing, and it has nothing to do with anybody else. I just don't want to barf. Shitting my pants, you can fuck off. I don't care. I shit my pants.
Okay. Yeah. so it tasted very like earthy,
like beet juice.
Have you ever had like unflavored, I'm trying to think what would be like kombucha or like kratom, like just like unflavored, just like that, that like super like earthy taste, you know what I mean? Like just that, like it just tastes like you just like fucking rip something out of the ground and you're just shoving it in your mouth, you know? Like
a little bitter, maybe?
Like a little bitter, a little like dirt tasting, kind of just like brewed into
like,
a tea.
Not like putrid or like...
No. Mm-mm. No, it's not like rancid tasting or like, you know, sour or like anything crazy. It's just like very earthy.
Okay. So I would consider shitting myself like a high point of my story after doing ayahuasca. So I would actually hope to shit myself, but
yeah.
So how long did it take to come down from that? Did you only do the two nights? It was two nights and then that was it. Or did you have a third night or what?
So it was two nights of ayahuasca and then a full day of Wachuma. But the ayahuasca, I think the whole like journey was about, 6 to 8 hours. And then, after that, like when I tried to go to sleep and stuff, like I still saw like all this crazy stuff, like in my dreams. And like, even like the next day, you still feel like super out of it. Like you're super, like, you just feel kind of like depleted almost. And you have to take really good care of yourself, like in between and afterwards, just because you went through so much. And then the Wachuma, the San Pedro was kind of cool. So San Pedro, Mother Ayahuasca, or Ayahuasca is the mother, and then San Pedro is the grandfather. So then you have that balance of the masculine and the feminine energy. I had kind of a harder time, I think, with the Wachuma, only because I'm very like feminine, flowy. So like me trying to be like in my masculine was very hard for me, because I'm like, okay, like I have to just like be here in my body, like in my frame, in this structure. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And so that was kind of hard.
I don't even know what is that though? Is it a drug? Like, how does that make you feel?
I know San Pedro, but I've never heard it called that.
Yeah. So San Pedro comes from the Wachuma cactus. So it's from a cactus, and they brew it into, so he had it in powder form, and then you just like mix it in water. But it's basically like, you don't get any visuals or like any trippy effect. It's more just all body and just like more of like a feeling. Versus like seeing things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever done mushrooms like psilocybin or anything like that, or LSD? Okay.
Yeah.
You've reached the, would you prefer a mushroom trip over ayahuasca? I know it's not as intense, but like the people have had life-changing events on mushrooms. So.
Yeah. So mushrooms is also a really interesting one for me, because I don't like when my body feels high. So that's one that I like always have trouble with. So I'm like, okay, like, what do I do with myself now? You know? Do weird snake movements. Oh, I kind of wanted to come back around to that. So those weird snake movements that, I was doing in my ayahuasca ceremony are actually, energy work patterns. So those were downloaded to me through ayahuasca, and they're actually the movements that I do to help my clients, like pull out some of their energetic blockages. Which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
So you're doing Reiki shit, or
So it's not, it's similar to Reiki where you're kind of like doing the motions, but it's not like a structured, like set patterns or anything. It's more of like an intuitive thing.
Nice.
I think that's more important though, because everyone's different. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I think you can't just lay down like the same template over everyone and be like, this has to be what happens. You exactly. have to feel it and help them.
I think that's what makes a good energy healer too, is being way more in tune with like their, I was going to say their victim, but their patient.
Their like, victim.
Well, it's better than a doctor who is just like, I'm going to intuitively tell you to get this pharmaceutical. Like, you're at least intuitively trying to figure out what is legitimately
Pfizer
wrong with
told
them.
Me that this is what you need. I'm getting a download right now. Yeah.
My checkbook says that this drug is what's best for you.
Yeah.
Ask the doctor about
my student loan payments. Tell me that I prescribed this for so many years so that I can get out of debt.
Exactly. Yes. 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 Yeah.
So what have you been working on lately, though? Ever since your apparent awakening, or whatever you want to call it, that was 2019. So have you just been working on building your own like community and client list and all that stuff of like healing people? Do you have any crazy stories of like healing people?
Healing. I know you do quantum healing because you talked about it with Brandon.
So okay, so we can talk about that. Go on that. Yeah. I have a child's bladder. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So, I lost my train of thought. can you repeat the question again?
So, crazy healing stories, and then I did throw it off by saying quantum healing. But
okay. So, I had this one client. He was kind of one of my first, like, cause there was a point where I was just doing it for free. Right. Just because I'm like, I need practice. Like, do you want to be healed? Like, let me practice on you before I start like taking people's money. Cause I don't want to like someone to pay me and then I fuck their shit up, you know? So, I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, cool. Like, let's do it. And so like I set up, I do kind of more of like a shamanic practice where, I bring a lot of like earth elements. I work with like fire and, it's just all very like earth-based for me. And so I set up my whole thing and I take people through like a shamanic journey where there's like the shamanic drumming. And then I take them through like a meditation of sorts to kind of get them to see where like the blockages are. And so I'm taking this guy through different like journeys within himself. And he gets to this part where he found like, he went through like a lot of like sexual trauma, like as a child. And so he got to this really, really deep part and he just started like his eyes just started like twitching and just like his body was doing like all these fucking crazy things. And so I was like, okay, just breathe. Like you got this. And I just started pulling all this shit out of him. And like when I do energy work, I can feel in my body where they have pain in their body. So like if he's blocked in his throat, my throat just like feels like it's swollen. And so like, I know where to go on them because it's in me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 100%.
And so I felt all of it in his chest and I just started like pulling stuff out. And then, a lot of times when you do energy work to move the energy around, there's like a lot of sneezing, a lot of coughing, a lot of yawning, because it's just a way to kind of get stuff out of your body. And so, throughout the thing, it's kind of like, you know, with COVID and everything, I'm like over here, like coughing. I'm like, I swear to God, I'm not sick. Like, it's literally just the energy work. So then I'm
over here, like, energy work over here, bitch. I'm a being of light.
So I'm like over here, like hacking my lungs out because I just feel all his shit coming up. And then all of a sudden he just started like coughing and I thought he was going to start coughing up blood. Like he was coughing like that hard, like all this shit just like coming out of him. And I'm like, hey, you okay? Like, are you good? Like, you know, just like checking in. He's like, no, this is fine. Like it's coming up. And so like, I have this method where, I bring a rock, like if it's an in-person session, most of my sessions end up being like through Zoom or whatever. But if it's an in-person session, I bring a rock and I have them hold onto the rock and blow all of their trauma into this rock. And so like, as they're processing this trauma, they kind of just like blow it into the rock. And then once they're done, I take it and then I blow it all out. And then, we reprogram the rock to be, you know, all the lessons that they learned from that trauma and that sort of thing. And then they get to take the rock and they can either bury it or they can put it on like their altar or put it in their space or whatever they want to do with it. Like it's theirs. And so, this guy was just like doing all these crazy things with his body. And then we got to this one point where, like we met one of his spirit guides, which was like a this big black panther. And like he started like the panther like started like talking through him. So he started like growling and like doing all these like weird, like just crazy shit. And so the panther was just like, I'm like, okay, so what are you protecting? And then we kind of got into like the childhood trauma stuff and that whole thing ensued. So it was just like, it was very, very intense, very intense.
So what do you use for the rock to put your trauma stuff into? Do you keep that in a Faraday cage, or like you said, they could bury it afterwards or whatever, but like what particular rock do you use? Cause we've been talking about crystals and gems and shit lately. And what's your favorite, gems?
We have like all the I just keep them like on me so they're not like on display.
Show and tell.
It's just like
Ben's got his too. Let's see your
yeah, show and tell, Ben.
He's so out of it. Look at him.
Sweet.
There you go. So what's your favorite ones for protection and I'm most interested in the absorption of the trauma, because I was reading obsidian is good for that, which is really strange. My son gave me a huge piece of obsidian and was like, here, this is for you. And I'm like, okay. And I put it on my nightstand. I don't know if that should be there or in a Faraday cage, but.
Yeah. Obsidian is really, really good. Black tourmaline is really good. But actually what I use for the trauma is I actually just, take a rock outside, because we put so much like, yeah, crystals are awesome and they're beautiful and they have so much potential and like these healing powers, but so does a normal rock outside. It sits outside and soaks up Mother Gaia's energy up all day long, which is like just as fucking powerful as like one of these bad boys, you know? And so I go outside and I kind of just intuitively sit there. I'm like, okay, which rock wants to go to this client? And so I pick up the rock and I'm like, okay, this is your rock. And so a lot of times I like to have them bury it, just especially if it's like a really intense like healing session like that, because Mother Earth, like her grounding energy will be able to soak up all that and transmute it, versus like if you keep it on your altar, you know, it's still, there's still that potential that it can kind of like be floating around,
can affect you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've seen a couple pictures you posted of your altar. Is it over there in the corner, or I can't really tell, but yeah. So how do you set that up, and what is there a specific tradition or something that you set that up under? Because it looked very similar to kind of a Wiccan pagan type of thing. Mm-hmm. And if that's the influence, okay.
I don't really have an influence. I kind of just do everything intuitively, but I always make sure that there's something for all the four directions and all elements. So I always have something for fire. I always have something for water, always something for earth, always something for air, just because it's good to have like that balance on there. And then, and then I kind of just intuitively, like I'll go in the woods and just be like, oh, this pine cone is speaking to me. Let me pick it up and put it on my altar. And so like, and then I usually have some kind of candle, and I usually have some kind of like goddess energy. So I work with a lot of like goddess energy. So I have a goddess deck, and I'll shuffle it and I'll say, okay, what goddess wants to work with me on this altar? And then I let them pop out on their own accord, and then I put them on the thing, and that's it. And then I use a lot of herbs too. A lot of herbs. A lot of like plants.
Yeah, I think the raw plants are probably where it's at too, the herbs and all that. Yeah. We've been getting into, Jen's been doing essential oil stuff. I mean, just trying to fucking learn it, but it worked. Yesterday, I had a very sore tummy, and I don't know if it was something I ate or what, but I felt like I was going to barf for a bit, and then I felt like I had to poop. And so she put this blend of shit on my stomach and then made me drink this other one, and
so about the intuition thing, like I've been trying to be more intuitive with like spiritualism, but so I did it wrong, but it totally worked for him at the time, where he was supposed to drink the one that I put on his belly, and like put the one, I don't know, but I put one on his belly, but he could have totally drank it. And I was like, no, we need to rub it on you like right now. And then I was like, you need to drink this one. And then I looked up the directions and I'm like, oh, it might've been different. Like this one just goes in your mouth.
Totally
like
an
idiocracy. But, but it did work, because it was, I think, my intention, like, and
exactly
essential oils in general. And I had the best intentions. And yeah. I also gave him a really badass massage that was very healing. And I was trying to like rub all of the negative energy out through his feet. And he even told me, you were like, don't rub my feet. I've been walking outside all day barefoot. And I was like, well, okay, but I can't just rub your legs down to the calves and then not rub the energy out of your toes. Like, that's not
going to
happen. So I had to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. You can do that. Just wash your hands.
And then I did. Don't worry. I washed my hands, bitch.
Yeah. The one thing I would say about that is, you know, even though like by the directions it was wrong, like intuitively you knew that that was what was going to work for him. And the one thing like with me, when I work with plants, I actually, I sit there and I listen to the plants first and listen to what they tell me. And then I will go and do the research and double check afterwards. So that helps me to strengthen my intuition. And I actually, after doing ayahuasca, I noticed that I can communicate, like, I don't even know how to even describe how the communication is, but it's more just like a download of information from the plant. And they tell me like, okay, this is going to work for this. This is going to work for this. You need this for this. And then I'll just start like doing shit and it works. And then I'll go look it up. I'm like, oh shit, jasmine is for this. And it's kind of like I almost like reverse engineer it instead of like doing like the intellectual part first and then doing it. Because a lot of times, like, there's a difference between intelligence and wisdom, right? Intelligence is I think, and it's all the concepts, right? And you can't think your way into healing. You have to embody it. You have to be it. And so, like, I love science. Science is fucking dope, right? But science is trying to explain what spirit already knows. Science is trying to catch up to what the soul already knows. And so, yeah, I think science is badass and I like having facts and I like having shit to back up what I know. But I also know that the wisdom that I get downloaded to me is right. You know what I mean? And I will go and like double check it just to be sure. So I don't like fuck anyone's shit up. But yeah, I think people need to trust their intuition more. They rely so much on external sources for everything.
Or looking it up on their phone. You know, we just had this experience.
WebMD.
Yeah. Look more with the crystals than the plants, but she was looking up different crystals she wears all the time. Mm-hmm. And was like, whoa, that's weird. Like, I always wear these two together and they're the same thing. And I always wear this on this hand and that's the same thing.
So I have iolite and opalite and I have unakite and then I had rose quartz. And then I was looking them. I just picked them and I've been wearing them. I didn't really know what they did. Yeah. I didn't look them up.
No, you looked them up after the fact.
I looked them up after the fact. And then today again, I looked them up and I saw that opalite and iolite, which I always wear on my left hand, are the third eye chakra. And then rose quartz and unakite are the heart chakra. Mm-hmm. But I always have to keep them together. So I keep the rose quartz and unakite together and I keep the iolite and opalite together. And they're both part of the same chakra. And I thought that was weird because I don't know anything about that. I don't want to say I know nothing, but like I definitely don't research it that much. I'm very open to it, but I didn't know that when I got it. And it was cool that it just kind of intuitively came to me like, these have to be together. They have to be in this part of my body. Mm-hmm. And then I actually gave Joe my rose quartz because he likes it. So I bought it. Yeah. And that's where when I bought it, I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this one. I'm not sure if I need it. And then he got it the other day and was like, I really like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think that's for you. I think I bought that for you because I don't need it that much. I love it, but it's for you. And it's funny because it's pink and then also has a rainbow of chakras. So it's hilarious because it's not like at all. It's definitely not like a manly bracelet.
No, it's very gay.
His favorite one. I feel like that.
Really
it's
gay. I'm going to suck that dick.
Okay. Whoa. But it's funny because he was just like, it spoke to him and it didn't matter. He was just like, this is the one I want. And I was like, you can have my pink rose quartz bracelet with the rainbow chakra on it.
You put it on.
Yeah. And I think it's important a lot of times too, because like in the spiritual community or when you're like looking for the truth or whatever the case is or whatever you're doing on your path, I think a lot of times we get so caught up on like trying to be right or doing everything by the book, even if we're like trying to break outside of the book, you know, we still try to do everything by like a certain standard or whatever. But I feel like, I don't know, like just listening to your gut and listening to your discernment is, really, it's really important. And I think we know more than we give ourselves credit for.
I totally agree. I think the operative word in there is try. I think when we try too hard. I think if we try less, we will gain more. So mm-hmm. if we're not trying so much, I have a weird experience. We can talk off air about that because it's long, yeah. but it was very weird and there was no trying involved. And I think, but like what you said, you went into your ayahuasca experience accepting, but not really looking. You were looking for like a general idea, but you weren't yeah. trying. You weren't like, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be the best person ever. I'm going to fix this. Like there wasn't really this very big important thing that you were doing. It was kind of a general like, all right, I'm going to figure some shit out maybe, but whatever, we'll see what happens. Wow, yeah. we're freezing like crazy.
I know.
Yeah,
are we freezing on your end?
Our stream, but
it was a little bit
yeah,
but I think it's okay now.
Yeah, I think the trying is the least important thing. We should not try
and just yeah. do. Yeah, because I think a lot of times like we try to force things to happen, right? We try to force things to happen in our time and the way that we want to do it. And sometimes that's not the most optimal way to do it, you know? And I think when we have like goals and have like intentions is good, but also leave room for things to flow and for things to go off course, because sometimes when things go off course, that's when the best shit happens, you know?
100%, but we're programmed to try.
Yes.
It's hard mm-hmm. because how can we not try?
Oh, so yeah.
Us as humans to be like, oh, I'm just going to like let this go and see what happens. You can do that. I know there are tons of people who do that daily. Yeah. I'm fucking envious of them, but it's hard to just go out there and have a very just candid experience in life. You know,
yeah.
it's very challenging. And when it happens, what's also challenging is that you don't recognize it. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's going to be like, hey, this amazing thing is about to happen right now in your face. It's going to happen. And then later you have to recognize it. That's part of your job to recognize it and see it as it was, and then apply it to your life as it is now.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I was going to say something, but now I don't remember.
Oh, brain farts. They happen farts, all the time.
Brain farts.
I always.
Yep. Yeah.
Ben looks like he's passing out anyway. We can wrap it up here. Ben, you look like you're about to die.
Oh, I did want to, okay, I remember now. Just real quick. So you said something about like the programming, right? So we're all programmed to try to like prove ourselves, right? We're all trying to like, we all have this wound where we're trying to prove that we're enough, right? And we do that by trying to be right, by, you know, filling in these gaps, by reaching for the external. And really all that we're doing is we're acting out of our own wounded inner child to prove that we're worth something. And, you know, using different things to fill those gaps and those holes. But when we realize that we're not human doings, we're human beings, and we just allow ourselves to be and we allow ourselves to feel without being attached to anything, then that's when the magic happens. And that's where we find ourselves in this like in-between state where, you know, the things that we think aren't possible happen.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, yeah. Wow. I've been feeling that more in the last literally like 30 days, like just in the last month. I've had weird downloads of shit too, where I'm just like, oh no, like we're all part of the same thing. Like everything's fine. Everything's yeah. great and everything's beautiful and we can do whatever we want. We can manifest shit. Like if we put stuff out, it will come back, whether it's positive or negative. It's so mm-hmm. weird because we can do that as people. We
yeah.
all can. It yeah. sounds crazy and woo, and it's funny because we're programmed to think that too.
Yeah.
And hilarious because they took it away from us. They're like, oh no, you can't do shit. Like no. you're stupid and you have to just follow the media and yeah. you're just dumb and you're just robots basically, and we're not. We're actually yeah. really cool.
And the thing is too, is like to piggyback off what you just said is there's when you said like, oh, that's just woo right there, just saying that, or when people say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory, or oh, that's just whatever, that layer of judgment is what people project onto it because they don't understand it, because they think that they're not capable of it. They think that they don't have that magic within them. So then they think that, well, how can anybody else? Right.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with like, I don't know, just anything that's like a taboo off the wall kind of topic. There's always that layer of judgment that you have to peel back and dig into. And beyond that layer of judgment is where the keys to healing is. It's where the keys to expansion is. That's like what the danger zone, but it's really where everything else lies is, once you make it past that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And that, I think there was a definite, there was a directed negativity towards all of that, towards astrology or tarot card readings or psychic, whatever it is, all of that crazy woo shit. Like I was saying, there's something weird about the fact that we all grew up thinking that's really weird and maybe really cool, depending on who your parents were. Yeah. But normally, like, most people are like, oh yeah, that's fake. And they put it in movies and TV and everything mm-hmm. so that it's all magic. It's like Harry Potter, like you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. or Lord of the Rings, like you were talking about. That's not real. That can't ever happen. But it could. Who fucking knows? It doesn't matter. Like, who's to say? Like, who's going to define the box that we're all in? We don't have to be in that box, and we can all break out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. And also to kind of go off that, I feel like a lot of times they do that on purpose, right? Where they put all of these like magical things in movies, in the media as fiction to desensitize everybody from it. So then they don't tap into it themselves. And I think that's the same thing with like telling kids about like the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and all of these things. We like lie to them about these, you know, magical beings, so that when they find out their lies, they don't believe in magic anymore, and they don't believe they're capable of creating magic in their life. Oh, and
yeah,
so
that's silly, yeah,
I've never thought of it that way, but mm-hmm. I remember like the day the magic was stolen from me and the day I had to steal it from my own child and be like, oh yeah, that's not real, sorry.
Yeah. There's no fat man that's crawling down our chimney that we don't have to give you shit that you want, sorry.
But it is like, okay, so like Taylor was saying, so it's like they make those stories up to be very unbelievable. Like, oh, you think there's a magical fairy that comes and steals your teeth? Really, it's me, bitch. I give you the money.
Yeah.
I will continue to do until you're so thanks.
Yep.
And then I bought all the presents. But really, there's other magical beings that are doing way more powerful shit than giving us money and things and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like they took it and made it like a capitalist movement to like, oh, it, and I'm not even trying to put it there, but like, going it's all about stuff.
Go for it.
It's about getting stuff and money in the construct that we've made for ourselves. Yeah. And then we destroy that for our children. But really, there's these magical things that are happening in the background where they're like, well, actually, that car accident that you didn't get in last week. Yeah, that was me. Cool. Yeah, no one talks about me. I don't know. I'm your spirit guide and you haven't identified me yet. So I don't get any credit and they don't care because they're just like, I'm going to fuck off in this other realm until you need my help again. Cause that's my
help, you know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like, as kids, we have all this like imagination and creativity and like, we're like, oh my God, magic's real. And then what, like, kind of like what you said, like when it's like stolen away from you, then you shut that shit off, right? You're like, okay, well, it's not real. So now I don't need to feel these things anymore. And that's why so many people, like everybody is capable and has the ability to have psychic gifts or, you know, gifts that are beyond our five senses, but they're turned off and we're desensitized from them because of programming and all those kinds of things.
And the ego, like you were saying earlier, where like, if you have a weird dream that came true, maybe some people, I tell everyone, I'm like, oh my gosh, this weird shit I dreamed of, whatever. But like some people maybe wouldn't. A lot of people I think wouldn't, because they've had people tell them like, that shit's dumb and I don't want to hear about it. So they're not going to listen. So they wouldn't even tell anyone. So like, there's no account of any of those experiences because they're not going to tell them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's I don't know. It's just crazy. It's crazy what programming does to people. Obviously it's all intentional, because when we're, taken away from our own power, we're easier to manipulate and we're easier to control, which makes the perfect consumer. And then it just, you know, kind of ties into this whole fucking nasty cycle of what this planet, this 3D reality is sometimes.
And it's so hard to fucking figure it out. But that's why we have these conversations, is to figure this shit out as best as we can, at least. Ben's got to go night-night. He's getting sleepy, and
it's fine, seven. Ben. That's okay.
Good night. You can have a good night. No worries. Sleep well, bye. Buddy.
Taylor, it was really nice listening to your guys' story, listening to your story. This stuff is really intriguing. And it's awesome to see what it did for you. So thank you for coming on. Sorry I gotta go. You guys have fun. Okay. I will see you guys.
Thank you for having me.
No, we 100% get it.
Get some sleep.
Good night, Ben.
Love you.
All right, Taylor, thank you so much for joining us. Stick around after, and we'll have the, you know, the post-show chat that nobody is privy to, because I don't know why. They just aren't. But anyway, thank you for listening. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I don't know who won yet. I'm getting messages in the chat.
Why are you telling people to enjoy? All right, if anyone's watching the Super Bowl right now, you can enjoy it if you like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All more love to you. Enjoy your sports balls. And
I hope everyone
hope everybody wins all their bets and everything. But just use your fucking turn signals. Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.